Good morning, Crossroads! We want to welcome you to Crossroads today. My name is Mr. Incredible.
And my name is... Mike's not on. Mike's not on. My name is Mrs. Incredible.
But there's no relation to us, and, just in case you're wondering.
I think she's married to my sixth cousin or something like that.
Well, we want to welcome you today. We are so excited that you're here. And we have some incredible announcements that we would like to draw your attention to. So, without further ado, if you open up your program, which you should have received on the way in, you will see this incredible communication card. I don't hear enough oohs and ahs. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Incredible. Well, this is your way to communicate with us. You can ask us any questions, if you have any comments, if you want to sign up for any classes or any opportunities you see in your program. This is your way to do that. This is your golden ticket, your incredible communication card. So please take a moment sometime during this service and fill it out and place it in the offering basket. And we would love to get that from everybody.
The next announcement is about an incredible service coming up. This Wednesday is the return of our first Wednesday service. This is a chance where we have some incredible music, an incredible message, and you will get to know some incredible news about some upcoming events, like about life groups and a tailgate party, I believe. An incredible tailgate party. So come this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. It'll be right here in this room, and it'll be an incredible time.
And there's one more incredible opportunity we want to let you know about. Next Saturday night, we are going to be offering our Follower of Christ class. Now, what that class is we just offer we answer some basic questions that you might have about what does it mean to be a Christ follower? And if you're interested in getting baptized, we require that class in order for you to be baptized. So if you're interested in learning more about what it is that we believe and you're interested in getting baptized, this class is for you. So please sign up on the back of your incredible communication card. Just write where it says sign me up for, write follower of Christ.
Now today is the last day in our incredible series, The Gospel According to Disney. And today we'll be looking at a movie, it's called, why does it escape me, right?
It's something incredible.
Close to that. But it will be, the message will be given by an incredible couple from our church, Matthew and Frances Tuck. I hear they're pretty dynamite. So, without further ado, why don't we start with a word of prayer? Lord God, we come to you today ready to hear from you, ready to see you. We ask that everything that happens in this service, the songs, the message, everything that we would be pointed to you, that our awareness of you would be made even more. So God, bless this time, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. And now we have an incredible song.
No, the couple will be out in just a second.
Okay.
That incredible welcome that we had from that mysterious couple. Wow. You know what? I love superheroes because they're so mysterious, right? I mean, have you guys ever thought of the fact that you don't see superheroes in... Oh, wow. You have no idea who I am now, right? Because I have glasses on. You never see superheroes in the month of August. But, you know, the truth is there's a good reason for that. And the reason that you never see superheroes in the summertime is because of superhero tan lines. Have you guys thought about this? They wear masks a lot of times, so it makes it really hard for them to cover up their secret identity. Because really, they're not that secret. I mean, would someone, well, let's look at a few pictures, and I want you guys to guess which superhero we're looking at round about Labor Day weekend. Look at the first one here. Who do you think this is? It's DC. That's a clue. The Dark Knight. This is Batman. Yes, you could tell by the scowl. Now, you're probably confused by that because Batman really wouldn't go out during the daytime very much, right? Okay, let's try another one. Which superhero is this? I think I heard it. Wonder Woman, that's right. The earrings give it away. Okay, now this one is really hard. What do you guys think? Superman, that's right. Have you guys ever thought about that? I mean, would someone really just put on a pair of glasses and comb their hair differently and automatically fool everybody? How does that work? Yeah, I don't know if someone would try that even in church. Well, I just want to let you guys know that my name is Francis, and I am ecstatic that you're here today because my husband and I have the pleasure of talking about the movie The Incredibles. And this has been an incredible series. Have you guys been coming and seeing the series? We have had an amazing time looking at a whole bunch of different Disney movies, The Gospel According to Disney. And today we are going to be looking at the movie The Incredibles. Now, this movie is a movie about superheroes. In your time where you guys were shaking hands and talking, you got to discuss which superpower you would like to have. How many of you guys said you wanted super strength? A couple people want super strength. That's actually a wise choice because if you want super strength, it's like having a truck. People just want to help you move or want you to help them move, rather. Okay, did anyone want to be invisible? Would start by not raising your hands. That's the step one to being invisible. Did anyone want the ability to fly? Yeah, that'd be kind of awesome. Except for you gotta keep up with all of air traffic control or else you'll be like a bird in an engine. Now, I actually don't have an answer for which superpower I would want. So I went online and I took my quiz and what it said is that if I were an X-woman, I would be Nightcrawler. Does anyone know who Nightcrawler is? One nerd. I see you. He teleports. That's his special power. And that's pretty cool because then I could be in Disneyland like this right after the service. So that's pretty awesome. But the whole thing about superheroes is that, you know, it seems so out there, right? I mean, the movies are wildly popular. I mean, even this month, the movie Guardians of the Galaxy is wildly popular. There have been several Iron Man movies, several Spider-Man movies, several Batman movies, several that we wish we could forget, several Superman movies. There have been an amazing amount of superhero movies. So what is it about The Incredibles that makes it a superhero movie worth talking about? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at today. Because The Incredibles, now how many of you guys have seen that movie? A decent amount of you, and you're still here, so you guys like it enough. Well, The Incredibles is about a family of superheroes. You have Mr. Incredible, whose power is, if you've seen the movie, super strength. You can recognize it by his large barrel chest. Now, his wife, her name is Elastigirl, and her, if you guys have never seen the movie, you can probably guess this, her superpower is she stretches, that's right, like Stretch Armstrong and Plastic Man and several other people. It's not a new idea, but it's still good. So they have this family, and they get married, and they have three kids, and two of their kids we know have superpowers. There's Violet, who has the power of being invisible, and Dash, who has the power of running very, very quickly. But the problem is that you have this family of superheroes, and they're not allowed to use their superpowers because of lawsuits. Now, if you guys think about it, that makes perfect sense if super heroes existed in the world, they'd get sued by somebody over something, and then they'd have to go into hiding. And that's exactly what happens in this movie. This family of superheroes goes into hiding, and they have to hide their identities. And they take on a life of what they call civilian life. They're living normal, everyday lives. Now, like I said, when we talk about superheroes, it's like, well, what could this apply to me? So we're going to be looking at that today as we go through our message. The first thing that I want to point out, if you are taking notes, is that everyone has strengths. Everyone has strengths. Now, this is something that just you could see when you look around you. And I learned beyond a shadow of a doubt when I became a mother that everyone has strengths. I learned this because my son's personality became very apparent from the time he was very young. In fact, almost everyone who has met my son will say the same thing about him. They say that he is happy. They'll say that he is so happy. Your baby is so happy. Like a room without a roof. He is happy. Thanks. I got that song in my head now. Oh, wait, that's my fault. Never mind. Anyways, but they say that he is happy, that he is a friendly guy. In fact, I have this picture that I took at Disneyland a few months ago. And when I took this picture, I was just taking a picture of him waiting for the train. And it wasn't until I got home that I noticed that little girl in the background. Like, I had no idea. And if you zoom in, she's totally looking at him because he has this personality that he just draws people to him. In fact, I was in the grocery store a few weeks ago, and I was in the produce section picking something out, and there was a lady to my right picking something out, and he starts talking to her. You know, he says hi, and he's waving at her and being adorable, like he is so good at. And she starts talking to him, but she's really talking to me as she talks to him. So she's talking in that baby way, that affect, you know, and she's saying, "You are so friendly. You are going to have people over your house all the time. Mom and Dad are never going to get a moment's quiet." And she's just talking, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But it's true, right? When you think about, if you're a parent, you knew early on what your kids were going to be like. Maybe they were somebody that were really good at taking things apart. Like, you wish they weren't so good at that, but they were really good at that, and sometimes they put them back together. Or maybe they were always the caregiver. They were the person who was really good at seeing somebody who was hurting and would comfort them. And you just saw these patterns. I mean, when I think about my own life, that was true too. When I was a kid, you guys will not be surprised at all, but I would take all of my stuffed animals and I would line them up outside, and I would take an old textbook and I would teach them. This is how I spent my summers. I would teach my stuffed animals how to do math, and I would take a bar of soap and I'd write on the fence, and, you know, it's still there to this day. Sorry, Mom. But, you know, that was what I did, and it was something that just came naturally. And I bet if you think about your own life, you can think about the strengths that you have, the things that you were naturally very good at. Well, we've been talking these past several weeks about all different aspects of the gospel according to Disney. And so I'm going to look at some of the Bible verses today. One of the things is that there is good news about your strengths. In fact, a few weeks ago, Paul talked about in The Lion King, he talked about Ephesians 2:10. Which says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So there's this picture that Paul was talking about, that we have this identity, but I want to focus on the second part of it, that God created us with things that he planned in advance for us to do. And that's where your strengths come into play, because he knew what your strengths were going to be. He created you to have these strengths. But this is true for everybody. Everybody has these strengths. So I want to go a little bit deeper. What does the gospel say? Well, the gospel says that you have superpowers. And I know you're probably thinking, no, I don't. You really? No. I mean, If you asked me honestly, what is my superpower? I'd say I can put my foot in my mouth anytime, anywhere. It's amazing. But the truth is what the Bible says is that you have superpowers because your strengths, when you put your faith in Jesus, when you begin to follow Jesus, you make him Lord of your life. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. God himself is living in you, which means that you have a supernatural ability, a supernatural focus and power to what you already are strong at. Like God gives you gifts to use for him. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to show you. Now, the Bible talks a lot about what this looks like. And I want to show you one picture of what these superpowers look like in Romans 12. Go to the next slide. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12, thank you. God's very expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it and everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. So what you see in these verses is that God himself is giving you gifts, that God himself is empowering these gifts. But see, a lot of us, we don't tend to think about this. We don't tend to think about the fact that we have superpowers. So what Matt and I are going to do with the rest of our message is we're going to be focusing on three truths about your gifts. Now, the first one, before we set it up, I want to share with you a clip from The Incredibles. In this clip, what you're going to see is, as I said, Mr. and Mrs. Incredible are both in hiding. They are hiding from the world because there's a lot of backlash against superheroes right now. So what they're doing is they're hiding. Mr. Incredible is now an insurance adjuster. And Mrs. Incredible, Elastigirl, is a stay-at-home mom with her three kids. And Mr. Incredible is up to something with his time. And we're going to look at a clip right now. So as you can see, he's supposed to be not using his gifts, but he can't help it, right? He can't help but use his gifts because the first truth about your superpowers is that using your superpowers fulfills you, if you're taking notes. Using your gifts fulfills you. There's something about it that just, it makes you feel alive. When you're doing the things that you're created to do, it makes you feel like, man, this is what I was made for. This is what I was supposed to be doing. And that's exactly why he can't give it up. I mean, because when he does it, there's that moment at the end with Lucius where they kind of just bump fists, because it's like, even though they're arguing, even though it didn't go really well, even though they weren't invited to do it, even though they could get caught, it was still like, yeah, that was awesome. And that's exactly what it looks like. Now, the Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about this first truth because, well, it's probably the least important of the three, but it's really important for you when you're in it, when you're feeling that way, that it's a reminder that this is really part of the plan that God had for you. So I want to look at one of the verses that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he is encouraging him. And what he says is, I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid hands on you, when I prayed for you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I want you to underline that if you're following along and taking notes, to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. Because the truth is, what Paul's saying is, you need to use your gifts. You need to stoke that fire. You need to make it into a burning blaze. You need to use your gift, because the more that you use it, the stronger it becomes and the more that God can shine through you. So that's the first thing. But then the second thing he says is that God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity. I want you guys to underline that. because he puts those two verses together for a reason, that you're supposed to fan into flames your gift. When you're not doing that, the opposite of that is fear and timidity. In fact, if you're taking notes, that when you're working outside of your gifting, it leads to fear and fatigue. And you guys know what I'm talking about, that sense of fear that you know, when you have to go to work, or you have to go and meet some obligation, but you get a knot in your stomach. And you're like, oh, they're going to ask me to do da, 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 da. Or I'm doing this because they pay me to do it, but really no, I wish that I didn't have to do it. When I think about my own life, going back, I used to work in a bank for several years, and part of my job working in the bank was that they kept track of how many people I got to sign up for credit cards. And I was terrible at this. Terrible. I can't even tell you. Because see, I had everyone's banking information right in front of me. And they were keeping track of how many people that I got to sign up, but I'd look at their banking information and they were overdrawn more than they had money in their account. And I'm supposed to tell them with a straight face, you know, getting a credit card might be an answer. And I couldn't do it because I felt like, well, that's just not right. And so it was one of those things that every month I'd be at the bottom of the list, you know, and I did my job very, very well. Everything else, I mean, I kept the count very correctly, and I was really good at spotting fake IDs and things like that. I was like a superhero with that. But when it came to one aspect that they kept track of, that they put on a board in the back, I was always really low. Because it was just something that, you know, it didn't fit with who I was, and it didn't fit with the way that I felt like I wanted to live my life. And that's the way that it is. We have this stress, this fear of doing the things that we're not gifted to do, that we're not called to do. And it leads to fatigue. After a while, this fear just kind of weighs on you, and you get tired, you get burnt out. And I thought, you know what, well, this can't be everybody. So I looked up some statistics, and what the Gallup poll found is that in 2013, so just last year, 78% of Americans are not engaged at work. 78%, which means only 22% of people feel like they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're doing it in an environment that's healthy. And that's really sad when you think about it, because that means that more than 3/4 of the people sitting in this room aren't engaged with what they're doing. And I thought, well, the church has got to be better than that. So the same people found, and this is a few years older than that, so it may be a little bit higher, I'm hoping, praying, but only about half of people who are involved in a church, who are members of a church, are using their gifts and doing what God created them to do. And that makes me so sad. Because ultimately, using your gifts fulfills you, it enlivens you, and really, it's what you're best at. Because the truth is, like, you know, I can come up here and I can sing, but you guys don't want that. I promise, you don't want that. But, you know, there are things that I can do well, and there are people who can sing well. There are people who can do a lot of things that I can't do. And so it makes me very sad, because I think about, man, half the people that I'm going to meet in any church are not doing what God created them to do. They're not experiencing that sense of fulfillment. But I want to continue and look at another clip, because what happens to Mr. Incredible is he gets this mysterious opportunity to begin using his gifts again secretly. And he keeps it from his family, but you start to see that what happens begins to change other areas of his life. So watch this second clip.
So you see Mr. Incredible using his gifts, and that has an effect on his family life. Like, he's taking care of the baby. He's using his gifts, throwing the football, and Dash gets to use his gifts, you know, in running. And he's spending quite a bit more time with his wife, actually. That's the part where the movie earns its PG rating. But you see how enlivened he is at the opportunity that he has had to use his gifts. But I want to point out something else that we see both in the movie and in the gospel. It's not just about you. If you're taking notes on the backside of your outline, The second point is that your gifts are a necessary part of a super team. Your gifts are a necessary part of a super team. You see, Paul, when he was writing to churches, one of the churches that he wrote to was the church in Corinth. Hence the name 1 Corinthians. And he was addressing a couple of issues that they were having at the time, that they were dealing with. And one of the issues that they had was in the area of their gifts. You see, some people in the church had a particular kind of gift, and because of their particular kind of gifting, they thought, well, we're more important than anybody else who doesn't have this gift. And you have a second group of people in the church who are saying, well, they have that gift, but we have this gift, so we're more important than they are. And you have even a third group of people who say, oh, well, we have this gift, but we wish we had either that group or this group's gift. So you have not only you have infighting and backtalking and all kinds of drama going on in this church. And Paul is trying to put all that to bed. He's trying to point out that, yes, you guys have different kinds of gifts as a church, but all these different gifts are necessary. They go together, and he uses the analogy of a body with different parts, something that they can obviously know about since each of them has a body. But for my purposes, I wish I had a prop, some kind of like a body with different parts. You have something? All right, thank you, Mr. Potato Head. Perfect. You remember this guy from last week, Toy Story Week? Well, he's back. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the scripture, but and please forgive me, I'm going to do it as though Paul were holding a Mr. Potato Head right in front of the church in Corinth. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. I don't know how a foot would actually talk. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, like, just like that, how would you hear? And, or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts. And God has put each part just where he wants it. Unlike our Mr. Potato Head, who for some reason has a tongue for a left ear. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So Paul is using a little bit of humor to drive his point home. You guys have different gifts for a reason. The reason you have different gifts is so that you can fit together. The eye of the body is really good at seeing. It does that really well. But eyes are not so good for hearing or smelling or tasting or touching. You get the point? The eyes need the ears, and the ears need the eyes, and both of them need the nose and the hands and the feet, and so on and so forth. Every part of the body needs every other part of the body, and all the parts of the body need to work together. And that's how it is in the church. Every Christian has a different gift, something that they bring to the table. And it is necessary for each part of the body of the church to use their particular gifting, their particular superpower, for the benefit of all the other parts. A couple of weeks ago, I had to go to the emergency room because there was something wrong with my lungs. And because there was something wrong with my lungs, every other part of the body was feeling the effect of that. I got better, for a time it was scary. It was shocking. I didn't know what was wrong. But because one part wasn't working right, all the other parts suffered as a result. But once my lungs got working up and running again, every other part of the body was likewise restored. I got my energy back. I got my appetite back. I got the ability to do basic things around the house. So every part of the body needs every other part of the body. And in the movie, we see this kind of clearly. Mr. Incredible, his chance to use his superpowers was actually a plot by the villain of the movie, Syndrome. And Syndrome has been building a robot specifically to counteract superpowers. And because Mr. Incredible has already fought the robot, the robot has learned from that, and now the robot is stronger than Mr. Incredible. So Mr. Incredible gets captured by the supervillain. So that means Elastigirl has to come and save her husband, and their kids even come along for the ride. They rescue Dad. They rescue him from the island. They go back to their hometown, the city of Metroville, where the villain has been unleashed. Syndrome has unleashed the robot to do untold amounts of damage to the city, and watch what happens. So you see that honest admission from Mr. Incredible. I'm not strong enough. You see, through the whole movie, he's had this mantra, this thing that he said over and over again. I work alone. And right there in that moment, he's trying to do something noble to save his family because he says, I can't lose you again. He thought that they had died in their attempt to rescue him. He says, I can't lose you again, but I'm not strong enough. What does she say? If we work together, you won't have to be. If we work together as a church body, we can rely on one another. Our strengths can work together in unison, in unity, in cohesion. We can be a super team together. So we've looked at how our gifts, using our gifts, fulfills us. And we've looked at our gifts being a necessary part of a third team. But the Bible, the gospel, points out a third thing, a third point. Your gifts are from and for God. Your gifts are from God and for God. Francis already touched on this a little bit at the beginning. If you turn your outline back over to the front side, the second set of verses, God's various expressions are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. He is the one who gave you the gifts in the first place. And he knew what he was doing when he gave you that particular gift that you have. each person is given something to do that shows who God is. See, using your gifts isn't just about you, and it's not just about the people around you. It's about showing who God is, how wonderful He is, how gracious He is, how mighty He is. Whatever aspect of God is revealed through your particular strength, your particular gift. And then also in the first verse that she pointed out, for we are God's handiwork. I'm going to put on my teacher hat for just a moment. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, and Greek doesn't need to follow the same rules of grammar that English does. For instance, they don't need to put certain words at the very front of the sentence. In fact, if you wanted to put something at the front of the sentence, it was your way of underlining it and highlighting it and making a particular point that this is the most important point that you want to get across of your sentence. Do you want to know what word comes first in this sentence in Greek? God. Would you underline God's? For we are God's handiwork. He is the one who made us exactly the way that He intended to make us, so that we could do the good works that He has already planned in advance for us. What an amazing thought. And if you'll flip it over again to the backside, returning to where we were, Paul, in another letter to the church in Rome, writes in Romans, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. He says, it's not only my privilege, but it's my responsibility to give this command from God to you. And I want you to underline His command that He gives. Don't think you are better than you really are. Why does He give this command? Well, because it's so easy to break. It's so easy for us to think of ourselves as better than we actually are. To assume, even though we don't consciously think it at times, we subconsciously assume that the world revolves around us. That when things are going our way, that the world is being fair to us. And when things aren't going our way, that the world is somehow being unfair to us. That the world has it out for us. That the world doesn't realize who we are. And Paul is saying, don't think of you are better than you really are. Don't think your gifts are more important than anybody else's gifts in the church. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. And then he goes on to say how to be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. You see, by faith, we believe that these gifts do come from God. That God has gifted us with these gifts for His purposes. That He intends for us to shine our light so that people will see our good deeds, and as a result, they will glorify our Heavenly Father. We realize that these gifts are just that, a gift from God. We don't deserve these things, but He gives them to us anyway. Just like the gift of salvation when Jesus died and rose again for our sins. That was a gift. And likewise, we have this opportunity to use our gifts for the benefit of others and to show how wonderful God really is. There's one more clip I want to show you, and this comes more from the middle of the movie. Elastigirl has found out that her husband might be in trouble. So she goes on a plane to try to find out what's going on, and unbeknownst to her, her kids stow away on the plane. The plane gets shot down by the villain, Syndrome, but they don't die. They make it to the island, and then this happens.
Now I want to watch the rest of the movie. That clip has so much in it. But it brings us to the last part. I mean, so what? I mean, we've talked about what the Bible says about your superpowers, that it fulfills you, that it's a necessary part of a super team, that it's from God and for God, but really, so what? I mean, what do I do with this? And what she says in this clip is what we do. Because if you heard what she said is that the people that you were facing aren't going to show restraint because you're children. And the same thing with people who follow Jesus, you know that this is life or death. You know that not using your gifts mean that someone might not get to see who God is. They might not get to experience him up close and personal, because there are more and more people in our schools, in our workplaces, everywhere, that just have never known someone who followed Jesus. They never knew someone. Like I said, 78% of people aren't engaged at work and using their gifts. They've never known someone who had that excitement and passion of knowing what their purpose is. I mean, can you imagine what would happen? But see, what she also says, the answer to that is the same answer that Paul gives just after the passage that Matt shared. It's printed on the bottom of your outline. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, what do you do? Serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it. Do it gladly. See, the so what, the reason we've been talking about all of this is because we want you to understand that the so what is to unleash your gifts. Matt talked about how Syndrome had unleashed this weapon on Metroville and it was dangerous. Well, what I'm saying is to be a force for good, to unleash your gifts from God and for God in this world. Use the things that you can do well. Because the truth is that, just like Matt said earlier, that God put each part just where he wants it. That he wants you to use your gifts. Sure, he could write in the sky, you know, here's a message for everybody. But really, we have the privilege of using our gifts in order to reach people around us. And God depends on us to do that. In fact, I just want to say personally, a lot of times people assume because I'm a pastor, because I work in a church, that we, the staff, we've got it all. But the truth is, we need you. I need you. Because there are certain things that I do really well, but there are certain things that other people do really well that are a blessing to me, that I depend on them to be able to do that. Like, for instance, Paul has this amazing gift for encouragement. Pastor Paul, I mean, if you've ever received a card from him, it's like 10 pages long and full of stuff that's amazing. And he really means it. But see, I need that with somebody. And there are a lot of people that have that gift. And there are people around you who need you to be encouraging. And I remember after I gave birth to my son, I did not want to do anything because I was totally sleep deprived and, you know, I was recovering from surgery and I didn't want to do anything, but people brought me meals. And that was amazing. If you've ever been in that place where you've had surgery or a baby or anything, a crisis, like a loss in your family, and people have brought you meals, it is such a blessing. But see, the reason that that happened is because people who had the gift of serving served. And there's a whole bunch of different gifts that God uses, that he gives people to use from him and for him. And so I just want to urge you to unleash your gifts, because like Matt said, they're a gift. And a lot of times we want to doubt, we think, well, you know, it's not as good as someone else's, but really other people, God, you, your own fulfillment are depending on you to use these gifts because that's what God made you to do. And really it's going to make all the difference in the world. Because when I think about the fact that, let's just start with the church, that 50% of people aren't doing what God made them to do. Imagine if they did. Can you imagine that if everybody who sat in a chair had their needs met? Because people who had the gift of giving gave generously, or people who had the gift of serving were serving. People who were welcoming and encouraging welcomed them. People who had the gift of teaching taught well. If people who use their gifts, that there wouldn't be people who are falling through the cracks. I mean, and imagine just how much amazing passion that we could unleash in people, that they know that they're doing what God created them to do. I mean, that's an unstoppable force. And really, the truth is that that is really what could happen, because you do have superpowers and you're a necessary part. And your gift is from God. And ultimately, when we use our gifts, it is for him. So I urge you to unleash your gifts for your own sake. And I urge you to unleash your gifts for the sake of the people around you who need you to use your gifts. And I urge you to use your gifts ultimately for God's sake. Because when we use our gifts, God shines and people see his love in a way that they would never see it. Use your gifts. Unleash your gifts. Would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your endless creativity. That as I look around this room, that there are many parts and that you have placed them exactly where you want them. I pray, God, that we would see what it is that you want us to do, that we would be able to unleash our gifts, that we would trust that it's in our blood. God, I thank you for the things that you've given us that we do well, for our strengths, and I pray that we would use them for your glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.